difference it made when the Lord came and stayed. Amen. I'm glad he didn't come to go. I'm glad he came to stay. Paul wrote about him and said, he's Christ in you, the hope of glory. You know how I know I'm going to heaven? Because I got a little bit of it on the inside of me right now.
Amen.
A little bit of heaven on the inside. Amen. And I've been around in places they didn't like it like that, but I like it like that. Jesus said, for the kingdom of heaven is within you. What y'all think about that? Amen. I reckon some of them tore that out too, praise God. And I'm glad it's on the inside of me, praise God. And it wells up every once in a while. Jesus said it being you a spring of water, a well of water springing up in the life everlasting. If it's on the inside of you, it'll spring up every once in a while. It may not spring up like all the time, like everybody, but it'll spring up on you every once in a while. Amen. Thank God. Well, I like it. Amen. And then I like it loud. I mean, there's some folk don't like it loud, but when I was lost, I used to like it loud. Huh? Them same ones, y'all pray for me this morning, them same ones that don't like it loud in the church, you let them go to a Kenny Chesney concert. And you let them go, amen, you let them go to one of them, Miley Cyrus ones. And they want to get as close up there as they can on them speakers there. But they don't, amen, friend. I'll call your band here in a minute, praise God, amen. You let them go, I don't know all of them like David does, but, amen. They like, and they get in that vehicle and they start feeling good, you know, it's Friday, they're on the way home, and they'll blare it on the way home, boy. But let's get it as quiet as we can in here at the church house. Yeah, but the Bible says lift up your voice like a trumpet. And then I like it long, praise God. Amen. When I used to watch them sport games all the time, I never did just want to watch one quarter of basketball. Is everybody okay? 15 minutes ain't enough when it comes to basketball. You got, amen, friend. Is everybody, you got to have 2 hours of it. There's a reason why you got to have a halftime, because you'll die if you play 2 hours straight. Amen. I never have just watched a half a game of football. Is everybody okay? And I ain't never wanted my church service to be abbreviated. Ever since I got born again, I like coming to church. It wanted pain for me to have to get up out of bed this morning. I was looking, when I pillowed my head last night and went into an 8-hour fast, praise God, I started thinking, man, I can't wait to get up and go to church in the morning. Amen. Good to be here. Well, I was looking forward to it. You may not have, but I was looking forward to it. And it's good to be. Thank you for the good crowd, and man, we're excited about it. A lot of other things I like to say right now, but we're going to get into the message, because if I don't, then I'm going to make some folks mad. Amen. All right, Luke chapter number 8, praise God. Y'all pray for me. I've been out of my element for 2 weeks now, and I'm nervous to preach this morning, and I pray God to help us. Amen. My brother-in-law and his girlfriend's here, and ain't that a blessing? They're going to sing at the service. Ain't that a blessing? Amen. And so that's good. And then, boy, the Fox family back here, glad to have them back. She's going to play the piano while my brother-in-law and his girlfriend sing and everything. Is everybody looking at her yet? Everybody turned? No, I'm just kidding. Amen. She's doing good. Appreciate them them being here, Miss Christy, and everybody here. Brother Brett, it's still good to be saved, ain't it? Amen. Good. Appreciate everybody being here. Let's stand this morning to get ready to read Luke chapter number 8. If you can stand, if you can't stand, you won't offend me at all, unless you're just rebelling, and then God will tell me and I'll call you out. All right? Amen. Luke chapter number 8, praise God. We'll begin reading verse 22. The Bible says, now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, let us go over unto the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. But as they sailed, he fell asleep, and there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said unto them, where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and water, and they obey him. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you again for the privilege of being here. I pray, God, that you'd help us. Lord, what a good time. As being Sunday school and then here in this service, Lord, the singing, the testimonies, Lord, even the giving, everything that we've been able to do, Lord, it's been a privilege. Thank you for the folks that you've brought here to East Carolina Baptist Church today. And God, I pray that you'd help us now speak to our hearts through the preaching of the Word of God. Lord, I pray that we wouldn't be lax concerning the preaching, but God, I pray that you'd fill me with the Holy Ghost of God. And Lord, cause my mouth, my lips, to utter the words that you'd have me to say this morning during this service. And Lord, for those that'll be listening, God, I pray that you'd give them listening ears. And God, a heart of faith to respond appropriately to the message you'd have for us today. And God, for what you do in the midst today, we'll praise you and thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. I want to preach this morning, draw your attention to the phrase found in verse number 23. The Bible says, but as they sailed, he fell asleep. And there came a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water. And the Bible says that they were in jeopardy. I want to preach this morning, on this thought, in jeopardy with Jesus. In jeopardy with Jesus. Now, I understand that the title may not be very appealing. I don't know of anybody that would sign up on the volunteer sheet to go get in jeopardy today. Now, of course, I'm not talking about Alex Trebek this morning, all right?
Yeah.
Amen. And of course, the word jeopardy in your dictionary means to be in danger. And truly, these disciples here in Luke chapter number 8 were in a dangerous time. The story, as it progresses, we find the disciples entering into a ship with the Lord, and Christ commands them to go to the other side of the lake. And while they are en route to the other side, while they're in the middle of the Sea of Galilee, something terrible happens, and a sudden severe storm arises on the lake at that point in time. And while they're out there, Christ has fallen asleep, and the disciples are beginning to despair of life. They're thinking that their ship's going down and they're going to be treading water with the hope of actually getting back to shore, but no certainties about that. So they respond according to verse number 24, and they awake the master. But they do that all because of that the latter phrase of verse number 23, because they had found themselves to be inside of jeopardy. Now, let me say a word about being in danger, being in jeopardy. I know nobody wants to do that, but if we were honest, we've all had times that we were in danger. And not only have we had those times, but more than likely we'll have those times in the future. There'll be times to come in on everybody's life where we find ourselves in jeopardy. That is, we find ourselves in a dangerous moment in time. And let me say this morning. If you find yourself there, I'd rather be in jeopardy with Jesus as to be in jeopardy without Jesus. Amen. And these are as terrible as the storm is, as life threatening as the situation may seem to be here in Luke chapter number 8. The best thing about Luke chapter number 8 is that they were in jeopardy, not by themselves, but they were in jeopardy with Jesus. Amen. And listen, for the storms and trials of life that I'll have to endure, and I hope for the storms and trials that you'll have to endure through life, I hope we go through those events in time, not without God, but with God. I hope God is our comfort. I want to go through those valleys of life with Jesus Christ as my helper. I like what the famous psalmist said there in Psalm 23. Amen. He said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. I'm not signing up. I'm not volunteering to go through those times, especially out in a boat in the middle of a lake, amen, with the winds and waves. I'm not volunteering for that. But if I have to go through something like that, I'd rather go through it with Jesus as go through it by myself. Well, we learn a few things here inside of the text concerning storms. Now the idea of this storm blowing up on the Sea of Galilee is a picture of problems in individuals' lives. Storms all throughout your King James Bible this morning, I refer to problems, dangerous situations that we all encounter in life. Now, we're no stranger to those types of storms. Some of us go through financial storms. We get worried about our finances. When there's more bills to pay than there is more checks to cash, then you kind of get into a financial storm. Amen. So we know about some folks go through marital storms. Amen. Husband and wife relationships. Some folks go through parental storms.
storms. We're raising kids doesn't seem to be as easy and as luxurious as we thought whenever we took their first baby picture inside the hospital. Amen. And so there's all kinds of, and there's social storms. There's all kinds of, there's spiritual storms. Paul said, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So we see that there's all kinds of storms. We learned some things in Luke chapter number 8 about storms, if I could give those to you by way of introduction this morning. Number one, we notice that storms can be sudden. Amen. That is, without any warning, without any telltale signs this morning, a storm of life can just appear inside of your life. One moment the disciples are on the Sea of Galilee, it's smooth sailing. Maybe they look out across that lake, maybe as smooth as glass, maybe you see reflection, maybe clear sailing skies, the sunlight glistening off the waters, man, it's a beautiful day, amen, and things are just going good. At the next moment that we find the disciples, and they're despairing of life, they're holding on for dear life, and they're crying out to God, saying, Master, we perish. Amen. Storms can be very, very sudden. Amen. And that's, sometimes we look at the weather forecast, and we kind of see what the weather's going to be like for the upcoming week and things like that, and we plan accordingly. But then, sometimes a rain shower come up that wasn't in the forecast. Sometimes it'll start raining at my house, and I'll get my phone out and I'll look there at the radar, and there's nothing on the radar. And the wind's blowing, amen, amen. And so what I'm saying this morning is storms can be very sudden. Without anything, without any kind of warning, you can just get yourself into a storm. The second thing we learn about storms, not only can they be sudden, but sometimes they can be severe. Here inside of the text, we're not talking about a rain shower. We're not talking about April showers bring May flowers, amen. We're talking about a severe storm. You know, every once in a while, the National Weather Service or whatever will issue some kind of warning. What they're saying is that the conditions are very likely to produce severe. They don't issue those warnings for just rain showers or snow showers. They don't issue those warnings if the wind's going to blow 5 or 10 miles per hour. But, friend, if you're getting 60 and 70 mile per hour winds, if the conditions are likely maybe to produce tornadoes or strong gale force winds, amen. Listen, if it's going to get bad, then the weather service will issue a severe warning, a severe weather warning for those areas. Hey, listening to me, sometimes storms, not all storms are severe, but some storms are more severe than others. What we've always, I believe everybody always has some kind of problem or something they're working through. We're so accustomed, we almost get kind of numb to the fact that we have problems, amen. But then those are kind of the baseline problems. But then every once in a while, one of those severe problems will roll along, amen. So storms can be sudden and storms can be severe, but I like this, and we learned from Luke chapter 8 that storms can be stilled. Amen. That in the midst of how sudden it seems like they can appear in our lives, how severe they can develop and cause all sorts of damage and seem like they're going to destroy the very foundation of a person's life and of a person's family. Although it seems like those storms can be severe and they can be so sudden, thank God there is a man.
Yep.
And the Bible says, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and the seas obey him? I don't know anybody else like that. Amen. Hey, listen, the meteorologists on television can't do that. Amen. Hey, Benny Hill can't do that. Oprah Winfrey can't do that. Amen. Obama can't do that. Amen. What I'm saying is, thank God that storms can be stilled. Hey, listen, you may be in storm. One preacher said it like this. He said, all of us have either just got out of a storm, and we're in a storm, or we're fixing to head into a storm. That's kind of a bleak outlook on life. I understand. That's more of a pessimistic type view, but I believe it's an accurate view. I believe we're always constantly being surrounded by some form or fashion of a storm. And in the midst of living life like that, I'm glad to be able to tell you this morning that storms can be stilled by the Master. Amen. They awake Jesus, and Jesus gets out there and just utters just a few words, peace, be still. Amen. That's pretty good, ain't it? Amen. So these, nevertheless, we find the disciples here, they hadn't got to that point yet. They hadn't seen the might. In fact, I think we'll see here in just a moment that I don't even believe the disciples believed that the Lord could help them where they were at. I believe they thought that the problem was too big of a problem, not only for them, but they believed their problem would be too big for God. So we find the disciples in jeopardy with Jesus. We'll look at a few items this morning that'll help us. If I've gotten to go through problems in life, then I want to know how to get through. If my ship's going to be tossed to and fro, friend, I want to know how to make it through the storm. Amen. So we'll notice a few things. We'll go home this morning. Number one, if you're taking notes, in jeopardy with Jesus, we find the cause for the crisis. The cause for the crisis. Why did this storm come on them? Why was the waves, was the wind blowing like it was? Why were the waves crashing in? Why was the water, was the ship taking on water? Why did it seem like the boat was about to sink? Why were all of these things happening? The cause for the crisis. Well, and the Bible, I believe, kind of gives us a little insight to the reason for storms. You understand? There are reasons for storms in life. Now, let me say this. A lot of storms are self-inflicted. Amen. That's sad to say in this generation, but listen, a lot of our storms, a lot of the problems that we face in life are self-inflicted wounds. They're self-inflicted problems. They're problems that we created for ourselves. If you go out and put $10,000 on a credit card, don't come crying that you can't make your mortgage payment. You understand? That's a self-inflicted. Now, I say that, but I know what it's like to do something stupid like that. Amen. That's why I can preach about it. Praise God. And so things like that happen. Amen. And we cause it's a self-inflicted. Can I just preach a little while? Amen. Y'all, let me do that. I'm not harping on that this morning. I'll do that tonight. But if a person smokes cigarettes for 40 plus years of their life, then by the time that person is 70 years old, it's kind of ironic for them to cry the blues about lung cancer. Now, I'm not minimizing that. I don't want you to think I'm saying that with a mean spirit. I hate it for everybody that's ever had to go through something traumatic like that and all that kind of stuff. What I'm simply saying is that sometimes storms are self-inflicted. Amen. And so we have those problems. But beyond those self-inflicted storms, there are some attributing factors here in Luke chapter 8 as to why the disciples are inside of their storm. Jot it down. The first cause for the crisis are the conditions. What I mean by that is the weather conditions. You know, there's just some things beyond our control. Amen. Beyond those self-inflicted wounds, beyond those problems that we cause for ourselves, there are at times, Brother Brian, storms that we just can't help. They are items, they are situations, circumstances, if you will, that are beyond our control this morning. Now, the disciples here, according to the text, are sailing across the sea of Galilee. If you're a Bible student this morning, then you know already that the Sea of Galilee was notorious for the sudden severe storms that it could produce. Along the eastern ridge of the Sea of Galilee, we'll find a mountainous terrain. And above those mountains, all from those mountains, if you will, a strong wind constantly blew. Excuse me, I got to get over smoking, amen. A strong wind. Y'all can laugh at that, all right? And that's fine. That's the break, amen. And so a strong wind come down from those mountaintops and would blow across the Sea of Galilee. Now coming off the surface face of the Sea of Galilee was very hot temperatures from the sunlight scorching down on top of that Middle Eastern terrain. So the water temperature was very hot, and that hot air would rise in form of steam off from the Sea of Galilee. And as those strong straight line winds would blow across the cold air and mixed with the hot air there, it was notorious. The Sea of Galilee was notorious for those sudden severe storms, because it was the weather conditions. You know, high pressure this, low pressure that, and El Nino and La Nina and all of those things, amen, and everything comes together. And what I'm saying is the disciples could not have prevented the storm. Amen. You can't dictate whether or not it rains today or not. I feel like I can. I feel like all I've got to do is say we're going to have a church service, and it rains. Amen. I understand that we can't. We have no power over the weather. I wish we did. Amen. If I find out somebody does, amen, and they've been doing this, praise God. We have no power over the weather. So what we're saying here is the cause for the crisis is something beyond our control. Sometimes we go through storms that me and you can't do anything about. Huh? I can't dictate what President Obama decides. I can't dictate what my boss decides. I can't dictate the economy. I can't dictate, supply and demand. I can't dictate the necessity for your job or for my job. I can't dictate those things. Those are circumstances beyond my control, beyond your control. You can't fathom or you can't necessarily control what kind of birth a child to have. You can't necessarily control what kind of deformities an individual may have. You can't control. There are certain extenuating external factors that you and I cannot help, and we cannot do anything about. Circumstances beyond our control. This storm represents a storm that is outside the disciples' control. Not only notice the conditions, but notice the commands. In Luke chapter number 8, we find that it is Christ who tells them, let's go over to the other side of the lake, of the sea. Amen. So we could say an attributing factor to the storms is not only the conditions of the weather, but it is the commands that the Savior gives. Huh? In Mark's account of this, in Mark chapter 4, Matthew, Mark, and Luke all record the same story for us. In Mark's account, Mark mentions the fact that the disciples simply followed him. Can I say to you this morning that sometimes you'll encounter storms in life simply by following Jesus. Amen. Did all the air get sucked out of the room at one time? Amen. Sometimes we'll go through storms in life. Listen, what I'm trying to say this morning is if these disciples had not followed God's command and got into the boat to go to the other side with Jesus, if they had not have done that, then they would not have encountered this particular storm. There were millions of people back on the shore side that did not know that the storm was raging inside of the disciples' life. Simply following God had produced extra storms. Now, everybody goes through storms. Everybody, the Bible says it rains on the just as well as the unjust. Everybody goes through storms. But listen carefully. And sometimes for the child of God, we have added storms to our life. You say, preacher, I don't understand what you're saying. Listen. If you've ever been saved by the grace of God, you know what I'm talking about. Because when I got saved, I was 15 years old. And when I got saved, I thought that I'd walk back into a public school, high school, and I thought the teachers and the staff and the students would all give me a standing ovation for my faith in Christ. But that's not what happened. I thought when I called certain people in my family and I told them that I had been saved by the grace of God, I thought they'd be happy about the decision I'd made for my life. But that's not what happened. Amen. Almost 14 years later, I thought folks would be accustomed to it by now and they'd kind of ease off and things like that. But I found that folks still ain't that excited about it. Huh? There are those that would have us to believe that if you would get saved, that everything would just kind of fall in line in your life. There are folks that preach like that. They say, you know, if you get saved, you won't never get a virus again. Amen. You won't never get a cold. You won't never get a sniffle and things like that. I'm wondering if that's right, why do those folks die? Amen. Amen. There's folks that preach that if you're saved and if you're living right, that you won't never know what it's like, amen, to go broke. You'll always have money. I confess that I'm not right with God. Huh? Amen. They have all kinds. But, hey, can I tell you the reality of it? These disciples got into a storm for no other reason than the fact that they were following Jesus. Amen. The calls for the crisis were the conditions, the commands. But then I noticed this about the story, their complacency. And listen, I'm not minimizing the storm in the disciples' life. I understand that it was a severe storm. And listen, if I was in the middle of a lake and the wind was blowing like that and I couldn't see 10 feet in front of my face and I thought the boat was going down, I got to be honest, I know how to swim, but I don't like swimming with moccasins. Is everybody okay? I don't like swimming with big old catfish, 40 and 50 pounds. Is there, amen. I don't know what they got over there, but it can't be good. Amen. I don't like swimming with things like that, especially with waves going like it is. I'm not minimizing the storm. Well, hey, how terrible and how awful it is. But I got to studying and I looked at Matthew in Matthew chapter 8. Matthew gives us the same account of this story. And in Mark chapter 4, he gives us the account of this same story. And then here in Luke chapter number 8, he gives us the account of the story. And you know, in all three accounts, there was one thing I found lacking in every single account, Brother Mark. Nobody, none of the disciples are recorded ever picking up a bucket and tossing water out the boat. Huh? I didn't find one place in the whole Bible in reference to this story where anybody is trying to make the situation better. Now, here's the disciples. The Bible says the Lord had fallen asleep and the disciples are sailing. They're enjoying the scenery and they're thinking, maybe Peter's over there thinking, man, I wish I'd brought my net today. Good day for fishing. And they're just carrying on regular conversations and things like that. And then all of a sudden, a strong wind starts to blow in and they notice the boat starting to rock a little bit more. And before long, I mean, water's paddling over the sides into the boat. Before long, they're taking on so much water that the boat buoyancy of the boat is beginning to go down into the water, but not one time do we ever say that anybody's trying to do. I wanted to take my hands and throw them into the story in the Bible and just wring somebody's neck and say, hey, grab a bucket. Do something about it. But here's the attitude of the disciples. I believe this. Here's the attitude of the disciples. Oh, it'd probably fix itself. I really see that in my mind's eye. I really see the disciples just looking back and say, oh, the storm, it'll pass in time. Huh? As they notice the water level increasing, and the boat say, oh, don't worry. I've been out here before, and it's been like that. And the storm passed, and the water evaporated, and everything was fine and wet. Everybody's just, they're complacent. They're not wanting to do anything about it. Can I make a confession to you this morning? Sometimes I see individuals' lives, maybe their financial status, maybe their marital status, maybe problems raising kids, and I just want to reach my arms and my hands into their life and just take them a little bit and say, hey, grab a bucket. Your problems aren't going to fix themselves. Hey, if you've got a problem in life, don't just stand back to the side and say, maybe it'll fix itself. Let's do something about it. Hey, let's grab it. Hey, it may go down. The ship may go down, but it's not going down without this big boy right here pelling water out the side. I want to give it a fighting chance. Paul said, quit you like me. I'm going down fighting, praise God. I ain't going down. Hey, I ain't going out like that. I'm going to fight with everything I've got. Amen. Hey, if your marriage is on the rocks, don't just stand back on the side and say, oh, maybe the fix is that. Hey, get in there with a bucket and pail water, pray. Hey, if you can't get a hold of your teenager going out in the world, hey, don't just stand back and say, oh, it'll fix itself. Sometimes problems don't fix themselves. Amen. They were complacent. You know, what I believe is that they made the problem worse by not doing anything. The condition was right for the storm. There's nothing they could do about that. The command was to go to the other side. They were being obedient. They were in the will of God. What they could have done is somebody could have grabbed a bucket and started pelling water. They were complacent. The cause for the crisis. Notice secondly this morning, the commotion of Christians. The commotion of Christians. Inside this text, we find that in the disciples, verse number 23, that as they sailed, he fell asleep. And there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. The commotion of Christians. Let me say this. Let me just go ahead and get this off my chest this morning. Sometimes we can act ridiculous. Amen. Amen. Ain't that the case? I love to say that we were some of the smartest people I know, but no. Amen. I want to say it's a sad day when the wisdom of the world seems to be wiser in the way we're doing it. It's a bad thing when the divorce rate inside of here is higher than it is. Amen. It's a bad thing when we in here know more about lottery ticket buying than them out there. When we know more about the fads and fashions in here than they do out there. Amen. So we notice here the commotion of the Christians. They go over there, finally, whenever the water's, the boat's taking on so much water, finally, when it seems like there's nothing, when the situation has regressed so bad that they know they can't do anything about it, then they go wake Jesus. Don't that sound like a bunch of Christians? Just wait until the last minute before they wake God up in their life. Amen. They put God on a back burner somewhere in the behind the part of the ship, and they just let God go to sleep on them. Amen. And they go through life, and then before you know it, now the emergency light's going on, and then they want to go get God. Amen. I'm glad they did, but I say, man, I might would have done something a little bit sooner. Yeah. Amen. No need. Listen, if God has an open invitation to come unto him, why would we wait so long? Huh? I don't understand. If God would save you this morning, why would we wait so long? If God would help you in your marriage or in any part of your life, why would we wait so long? Hey, God's right there, amen? And so the disciples go get Jesus, and they wake him up, and notice what they say to him. Master, Master, we perish. Really? That's all you've got to say to God, is we're dying. We are going to die. I could probably think of a few conversations or prayers that are probably better than that to say to God at that point in time. But they can't. They jot it down, the commotion of Christians, they were minded to fail. Because one storm in life had hit them. One severe storm had hit them. The only option they thought they were left with was to give up. They thought, well, it's time to quit. Done everything I can do, and now it's time for me to die. That's pretty terrible, ain't it? Just one storm of life. They were minded to fail. Hey, we're going to die. Hey, there's nothing else we can do. Listen, so what, you've hit a storm in life. So what, something's happened inside of your life. Hey, that's no reason to think that's just time to give up. Amen. Hey, listen. It's not time to rely. Amen. Hey, it's not time to throw in the towel. It's not time to give up. It's not time to. Hey, I don't want to have to go to God and say, God, I guess we're just going to die like this. Amen. By the way, they've got God in the boat. They've got God in the boat, and they're still. Well, we can't do nothing. If that ain't like a bunch of Baptist people I know. Got God in their life. Got a good local church. Got a King James Bible. Ain't got everything. The Holy Ghost living on the inside. And you let one storm hit their life. Oh, well, I guess I ain't going to be able to go back to church over there anymore. That one person looked at me funny. That's ridiculous. You know, people look at you funny every time you go in Walmart and you still go there. Somebody got my parking spot. I was at Wendy Kmart the other day and wanted to park up front. Somebody just parked there. You know what I'm going to do? Still go back. Yes, sir. Yeah. Amen. He said, well, they mistreated me. Listen, somebody called me a liar one time in there. Huh? Amen. I was walking out, and that thing said, beep, 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 like that right there. Ain't that embarrassing? That little alarm thing. And what they were saying is, you stole something. I ain't stole nothing. That they knew about. Amen. Hey, y'all really ain't going to laugh at nothing today, are you? Amen. And, and I was going out, and beep, 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 going on. I'm thinking, I was at him. You know what? I mean, it's just embarrassing. I'm going to go back. They question what I do in Walmart. Every once in a while, I get ready to go out. I buy a bag of dog food or something. You know, if you don't put it in a bag, and that man stops you, wants to look at the receipt. They question me down there. I still go back. There's a bunch of hypocrites over there at Walmart. I know I'm preaching on y'all's favorite store. There's a bunch of hypocrites. You know, I know the hypocrite. He ain't a bit more found that dog food on that receipt in 1.5 seconds, highlighted it, my hind leg. He ain't found. I can't take me forever to read over a receipt. He ain't that educational. Is everybody okay? He's a stinking hypocrite. He's pretending to do something that he ain't never even done. He don't even know what brand my dog food is. I got 3 bottles of Coca-Cola on top of it. Amen. Good. But you let something go crossways in the church. Yeah. Right. Boy, they just ready to throw the towel in. Right. Head on down to the... Some folk ought to keep wheels on their church letter. Right. Keep it moving so much. Yeah. How we doing right there? Amen. Hey, listen, the commotion, they were minded to fail. I know some folks, they go through a storm inside their marriage. Hey, I got news for you. Marriages ain't perfect. Amen. I take it from experience. Amen. They're not perfect. I mean, every once in a while, my wife does do something wrong. I'm the preacher. Y'all didn't think I was going to say I did anything wrong, did you? Amen. Every once in a while, she'll mess up and back talk me. Amen. Man, I'm going to pay for that. Amen. Hey, listen, every once in a while, things go wrong. But I don't want to just say, oh, this marriage is over. I don't want to say that. Amen. Hey, it's worth fighting for. Amen. Hey, my kids go wayward. Amen. If you were supposed to throw away a kid when they messed up, I wouldn't have no kids. In fact, I'd be 3 or 4 in the hole by now. Amen. You don't throw your kids away. You don't just let them go the way of the world just because you can't get a hold of them right now. Hey, you still work. That's why the Bible says train up a child. It takes years to train somebody. Amen. How in the world do you think we're going to train them sitting in front of a TV 8 hours a day? Amen. Man, that's about right. Praise God. The commotion of Christians, they were minded to fail, but notice this. I'm getting there. They misplaced their faith. Notice the rebuke comes from Jesus. I like Luke's account of it here in Luke 8. He says, where is your faith? Both Matthew and Mark pose it as, have you no faith? But here in Luke's account, he gives us a little bit more insight, and Christ says, where? Where is your faith? The idea is they had it, and they'd have it again, but right now they don't. Where's your faith? He says, where? I'm going to deal with this here a little bit more extensively in a minute, but just suffice to say, hey, where? I mean, I've healed blinded eyes. He said, you saw me with a 12-year-old girl that was dead, and I told her to get up, and now she's alive. You saw that. You've seen the miracle. You saw me feed 5,000 people with 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. You saw me do that. Where's your faith? Where's your faith? Now, I wonder why Christ's rebuke here in Luke chapter 8 was so strong as to accuse him of having no faith. I thought about that thing. I thought, man, it is kind of harsh because most of us would respond the exact same as they did. Put yourself in their shoes, and more than likely, there's probably some heroes in here you think you're more spiritual than you really are. Amen. But most of us would concur this morning that we'd probably act the same way they did. I'd probably acted worse. I got to be real with you. I'm not trying to drown to death. Amen. So it's a bad situation. It is a time of jeopardy. It is a time of danger. And Christ, listen, and he accuses them of not having any faith. Then I did a little digging, and I found out probably why Christ did that. I can't search the mind of God out completely, but I found out a little insight there. See, in Mark's account, in Mark chapter number 4, Mark mentions there wasn't only this one big ship, but Mark mentions that there was other little ships that were accompanying them to the other side of the lake. So it's not only this one boat in the storm. There's a lot of little boats in the storm too. So then that got me to thinking, Miss May, I wonder how, you know, Scripture's silent on that thing. I wonder how the other ships and the people in the other ships are responding to the storm. The Bible doesn't say, but I'm wondering if they were panicking like the disciples were panicking. I'm wondering if they were minded to fail like the disciples were minded to fail. And so I'm thinking perhaps maybe Christ's rebuke was so strong to them in misplacing their faith because he knows that all the other ships are going to be looking at that ship. If any ship does well in time of storm, it's got to be the one that's got God in it. If any boat weathers the storm, if anybody makes it in the storm of life, it ought to be this boat right here. But here's how they're acting. They're acting ridiculous. They're acting like they ain't got, hey, listen, they can't make it to the other side. They're saying, man, hey, we're going to fall. We ain't going to be able to make it. Somebody get down there, Brother Gary, and help him, amen. Hey, we can't make it to the other side. And all the other little ships are now looking at them. And what are they saying? They're saying, we ain't going to be able to make it. Huh? This ship here is supposed to be an example to all the other ones. But look how they're acting. No wonder. Hey, you know what Christ is probably saying to some of us this morning? You know what he's probably saying to some of us? He's probably saying, where's your faith? You're the one that's told people you're saved. You're the one that's told people that you're a Christian. You're the one that told people you go down there at crazy church. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Don't be nervous, Brother Gary's guy. Hey, you're just trying to work through some things. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Hey, look. Hey, so be honest about it. There's probably 4 or 5 more of us ought to be down there getting some help. Right. Amen. Hey, listen. Hey. I wonder, are we representing Christ in our lives when we go through storms? All right. So we see the cause for the crisis. Amen. The cause, the conditions, and all of those things. Then we see the commotions of Christians, how we act when we get into the storm, when things start to get tough, when they start to get rough. Then we notice, thirdly, and I'll be done this morning, the calm of Christ. You know what I like about this story more than anything else? And I like everything about this story. But what I like more than anything is the calm that God brings on the scene. You see, the Bible says in verse number 24, and they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. Both Matthew and Mark mentioned there about that calm. They mentioned that it was a great calm. Amen. A great calm. All right, listen, you know what I need inside of my life sometimes? I need a great calm. I was thinking this morning, I got out early this morning, I was riding around, and I was praying and asking God to help the services today, and I got to thinking about Brother Brad and Sister Ashley, they're going down in Florida today. I got to thinking about when they went to the hospital to have their baby, and little Aubrey there fighting for her life, and they was at Wayne Memorial and had to airlift the baby over to Pitt and things like that, and how horrible and traumatic of an event that had to be. But then I, in my mind, I started thinking about how much poise they had through it all, and how confident they were that God was going to see them through it. And hey, I wonder how we would respond in times of storms. Would we have that? I remember thinking about both Brother Brad and Sister Ashley. I thought, man, what a peace, what a calm in their life. And you know what they're doing now? They've got a healthy little baby girl. Not a thing. I'm thinking, man, what a blessing. Thought about Brother David and Sister Heather and our little Maddie and things like that. Hey, and things don't always go as we plan. And I listen, every once in a while, I throw us a little curveball. There's Brother David and Sister Heather with a calm, with a peace inside their life. Hey, I want a good calm. I want a good peace. And so notice the calm of Christ. Notice how that calm is produced. Notice firstly the word, praise God. Now we don't see it here, but the Bible says that Christ rebuked the wind in verse number 24. The Bible tells us in Mark chapter 4, verse 39, that the words that Christ used to rebuke the storm is he said, peace be still. You know what to help you in your life? The word of God. You know what you're not using inside of your life? The Word of God. You're using what mama's told you, and using what daddy told you, and using what Dr. Phil said. Hey, there may be some smart and intellectual things, but I want to tell you this one. They ain't nothing that'll help you like that Bible will help you. God's got a prescription for everything going on in your life right now. There's not one thing that you need from God right now that he ain't got inside of his word. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way, but by taking heed thereto according to thy word. That word's a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Amen. And the word of God. You want to know how to keep you from sinning? The Bible says, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. The word of God. The Bible. Praise God for the book. Hey, you need a calm. You want to be able to go through some of these trials and troubles and be like, you think about how Noah went through that big storm in his life. Think about how Moses went. Think about how Paul and how Daniel stood in the lion's den. Had those three Hebrew boys face to face. You want to know how they did that? The Word of God. Paul over there in a similar instance, he's in a storm. Oh, Euroclodon hits. They're all despairing of life. Paul stands up in the middle of all of them and says, sirs, do thyself no harm. There stood by me this night an angel of the God in whom I serve. And he said, there's no harm befall us save that we stay in the ship. And he said, sirs, I believe God. You want to know what you ought to do? Hey, you may not understand it. You may not know why, but you want to know what you ought to do? Believe the word of God. There was the word, but then there was the where in the passage. Christ says, where? I know y'all about ready for me to be done preaching. But he says, where is your faith? Now for years now, I'm going to have to apologize here. I've preached that a little bit wrong, I believe. For years, I've understood, Brother Brett, that where Christ says, where's your faith? I've understood that to mean that Christ was rebuking them for being scared inside of the storm. I don't believe that. I don't believe that anymore. I don't believe the context here as you study it out. I don't believe that's what Christ is rebuking them for. See, as you read Luke chapter number 8, you kind of get insight that it's not, Christ isn't upset at them for being scared. There's some things that we ought to be scared of. There's some things that are bigger than us. Christ isn't upset at them. Hey, see, the Bible says he knows our frame. He knows that we're but dust. Thou art mindful of him. Amen. Like God knows, hey, we're fearful and wonderful. Hey, God knows how he made us. He's not upset at us for being scared in certain situations. What Christ rebukes them for is not believing that he could help them in their situation. Because after, y'all read it with that. Better get to the Bible. Somebody say amen. In verse 25, he said unto them, where is your faith? And they being afraid wondered, saying to another, what manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and water. And there'll be, in verse 25, we see that the disciples didn't even believe that God could help them. They didn't even believe God could. They thought that they'd gotten to a situation that was too far gone. And they woke God up just to tell him, we're fixing to die. And Christ says, where is your faith? Hey, listen, it's not wrong for you to get scared every once in a while. Hey, probably some of us ought to be a little bit more scared about some things than we really are. We act too flippant about things inside of our life. We act like things are going to fix themselves, things like that. But listen, that's not the problem. It's not the problem. The problem is we act like God can't help us. I want to say to you this morning at East Carolina Baptist Church, God in 2014 is still alive and well. And he's not about to push the panic button. He's got everything under control. It didn't surprise him one bit that Obama got into office. It didn't surprise him one bit, amen, hey, that you're married to who you're married to. It didn't surprise him one bit in this world that your finances are where they're. Hey, God knew it was going to be like that. Hey, I believe in the sovereignty of God, amen. Hey, God knew it all. And God's not about to hit the panic button. He can take care of you. But then there's the wonder. I'm done preaching. There's the wonder. The Bible says after that it said they wondered. I saw that and I said, man, what about that? They wondered. I looked at that word, wondered, and it means to admire. And then in the midst of them wondering, notice why they're wondering. Because they said, what manner of man is this that he commands the winds and the waves and they obey him? They're wondering at what they can't understand. They're looking at God and they're looking at the situation. And now, while ago they thought they were going to die. While ago there's water in the boat. While ago the boat was shaking. While ago they couldn't see 5 feet in front of their face. While ago they didn't know what was going to happen. And now all of a sudden the sun's back out. Now all of a sudden the birds are singing. Now all of a sudden the sea's like glass. Now all of a sudden the Bible says they were at the shore. Just like that. And they could not understand what God was or who he is and how he did it. But I'm glad in the midst of them not understanding who he is and how he does it, they still admired him. You're looking at a preacher. Can I make a confession to you? I'm about done. I don't understand God. I don't understand who he is completely. If you do, hey, I applaud you. His ways are past finding out. Huh? I don't understand how God does what he does. I mean, I don't know how God stepped out on nothing. And buddy made everything. Huh? Amen. I don't understand how God does any of that stuff. I don't understand. Hey, the Bible says not only did he make it, but the Bible says by him all things consist. They've continued now until this very day. Everything in nature, because he's made it like. You consider a God, the Bible says that he feeds the sparrows. You consider a God that's got enough bird feed now for over 6,000 years to feed every single bird on the planet. What y'all think about that? That's a lot of bird food. And that's just one species. Amen. That's the God that me and you serving. I don't understand him. I don't understand why he does certain things, Brother David. I don't. Miss Trace, I don't understand why certain things happen. But I still admire him. I can still praise him.
I still love him. And I can devote my life to his service. Because he and he alone is worthy. It's amazing, not Peter the spokesman, not Thomas the doubter, not Judas the thief. It's amazing, not Andrew, not Philip, not none of them other boys could do one thing about the problem. Only Jesus. And I want to tell you, the only person that can help you in life. Some of you think right now, I don't need this. Well, you will. You will. You will. And you'll wish to God when you got in that situation that you had what I was talking about. Amen. Let's stand for prayer.